Welcome to this time of refreshing. This is a radio message that was preached from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries by Pastor Banky.
Let's begin our teaching today from the book of Romans chapter 12. Paul said, let me read from verse 3. He said, for through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, I'm in verse 4 now, and that's where the main thing I want to discuss is starting from. He said, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, please notice that. He said, we have gifts, and one person's gift differs from that of another person because of the grace that God has given to each individual. He said, if that's the case, let each exercise them accordingly. He said, if prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, and he who teaches in his teaching, and he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence. And he said, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, please notice that, and quickly let's read once again the book of Ephesians chapter 4, which we read some time ago. I'm going to continue in our discussion on the fruit of your life as a continuation of our series, The Purpose of Life. And we have been on that for some time now. And let me just quickly read Ephesians chapter 4 again. It said in verse 11, talking about the different gifts that are in the body of Christ. He said, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Now, the reason for this is in verse 12. He said, the purpose is for the equipping of the saints for the work of service or the work of ministry. King James says, he said, to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to attain to a mature man or a perfect man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Now, those are the two I want to use to begin our teaching today. Like I said, we've been talking about this matter of the fruit of your life. And remember, we read from the book of Luke chapter 13 that the Lord said clearly, if I put you on the earth, you are consuming ground. If I put you on the earth, you are consuming resources, both human and both spiritual and natural resources. And for that reason, I demand that your life produces fruit. And we said fruit is in two dimensions. There is what I call the moral fruit. That is, for example, we said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and all those moral qualities, which Peter said to us in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, that we must apply diligence. All right? He said, applying diligence, supply these things to your faith. So it's something we must work in actively as Christians. Let me quickly say it, because in Bonner we lay the emphasis again and again. That is, Christianity is that we are known as believers because of the improvements that we see in our personal lives. It is not how much we have prospered beyond before, all right, that characterizes Christianity, but the improvement that you see in the character, in the life of individuals. That's what Christianity is. And therefore, the first fruit that God is looking for in our lives are the things that he called the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of sowing to the Spirit. That is, if you feed on the word of God, Jesus said, this is how you abide in me, by my words abiding in you. If you feed on the word of God, what it will produce in your life, personal life now, are things like joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness. Those are the things that Peter called moral excellence. Number one fruit that God is looking for in our lives. That's what we're talking about. But I said beyond that, there's a fruit of the work we are doing outwardly for God on the earth. And the last emphasis I laid, the last two teachings on this, is the fact that I wanted us to understand that ministry, and that's why I read that Ephesians chapter 4 again, ministry is beyond being a pastor. Ministry is beyond being a preacher. And that every Christian is actually in ministry. We read from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that he explained it like this, that he died for all. He didn't die for pastors alone. He died for all, not for preachers alone. He said he died for all so that those who live will no longer live for themselves, but will live for the one who died and rose again on their behalf. That's verse 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So it's important we realize that as believers, ministry is everything that we do. We do everything as unto the Lord. I said something last time, and I'm continuing from that, all right, today. And that, you know, we said that God created us to establish his righteousness in every aspect of life. We said, what is righteousness? Righteousness is the divine order for doing things. Righteousness is the way by which God said things should be done. And we said, anywhere that righteousness is established, the kingdom of God will dwell there. Are you getting my point? Let me just emphasize what that kingdom of God is again. Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus Christ at night, and he said, we have noticed the things happening in your life. Are you getting my point? We have noticed it. We have noticed that when you speak to the storm, it will become quiet. We have noticed that nobody can ever catch you, all right, in a place where, let me say, you are without defense. Let me put it like that. For example, there was a time there was no money, and that was when they demanded that Jesus should pay some taxes. Incidentally, he was not even owing those taxes. But Peter had spoken in such a manner as if the Lord Jesus was going to pay. And the Lord said, fine, we do not have any money on us right now. The manifestation of divine nature, like I say all the time, was that the Lord now said to Peter, go and fish, and you will find just enough money for you and for me in the mouth of the fish. Now, those are the things that people noticed. They noticed that where Jesus went, the Holy Spirit literally was present with him. Demons, he hadn't said anything. He would just show up in a place, a demon-possessed man will start acting up. Nicodemus saw all those things, and now came and said, how come these things are like that? And Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see and he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What he was saying, in effect, is that why these things are like that is because I am moving, living, dwelling in the kingdom of God. Why these things are like that is because I am the embodiment, the manifestation of the kingdom of God in your midst. That's why these things are like that. Therefore, this is what it is. If you say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I said, the way by which you seek it, because that word and in the Greek is a very complicated word. You must know the context for you to know what he's talking about. It's not always an addition. It's oftentimes a qualification for what was said before. For example, Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. People oftentimes think that he's saying you'll be born of water, then you'll be born of the Spirit. No, he was saying, except a man be born of water. Now, I'm talking about spiritual water. That is, I'm talking about the water of the Spirit. So when he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, what he was saying is that the way by which you seek the kingdom of God is by seeking the establishment of his righteousness. And we said, looking at that, the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, that we call the Lord's Prayer, the one they taught the disciples. He said, this is how you pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. I said, that's a single prayer because the kingdom of God is established where his will is being done. What I'm going to emphasize to us today, a continuation of what we're talking about, is that it is our assignment, listen to this, it is our responsibility to establish that kingdom everywhere we go by establishing his righteousness. Is our duties. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it's not just about one day it will come that we just find out that the kingdom of God is established. No, it will happen only when his servants, you and me, when we will have done our duties and established his righteousness in certain places. So Nicodemus said, how come your life is like this? Jesus said, my life is a manifestation of the indwelling of the kingdom of God. My life is a manifestation of the kingdom of God manifested. Are you getting my point? And he said, for you to be able to experience that, you must be born again. For you to be able to experience that, you must have your life reprogrammed entirely so that you start walking in the righteousness of God. Because I'm on it, that's not my message, but because I'm on it, let me just explain that thing. Let's just use the opportunity. Now, people often ask, what does it mean to be born again? It's a very good question one should know. Some people say nobody could be born again until Jesus died and rose again from the dead. I used to think so also, but I realized something. The Lord Jesus was explaining a principle to somebody, and it was a challenge. He was trying to bring somebody up to a particular level. Please follow this. And you will see that that expression is not used frequently in the New Testament. Now, the reason is this. Not because it's not implied, but because different words are used all the time. Are you getting my point? What I'm trying to bring out here is this. When a man is born again, what it literally means, because you see, when you were born the first time, you started learning life. Let me put it like that. As a child, you come with some tendencies, but life starts forming things for you. You see, that's why parents are responsible for what their children become to most of the extent. So you start teaching the child how to give. Very importantly, you know, children don't know how to give. You teach them how to give. They always try to grab and hold on to things. You start teaching a child how to feed. Otherwise, he will eat only things that are sweet. But you say, no, this is good for you. This is bad for you. You teach people, you teach the children the standards and norms of the society. Yeah, get what I'm going to say. I'm not going to an issue here. It's like a computer. You are programming it. You are programming it. You are programming it. Now, that the person grows up and he learns a lot of things. If he comes from a society where, this is a bad example, but let's assume he's a mafia don son, all right? He understands why you should shoot somebody who's spoiling your business. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? He's brought up like that. He just understands it. He understands that, look, when business gets rough, you shoot the other guys, you kill them off so that business, all right, can become realigned. But if he came out from a family where they are very good, they are honest business people, and they are good in investments. That's not how he handles challenges. He said, oh, our competitors are doing things in a particular way. Let's see how we can reduce prices. Let's see how we can improve quality. Now, these are the ways he's thinking because of where he came from. Are you getting my point? Just to make it, it's a matter of fact, but I want to say it in a joking fashion. For example, you know, we come from a society in a country like Nigeria today. Yes, most people are criminals. Let me tell you, I'm not joking about that. Most people are criminals. You understand my point? If you put them in an office, they want to just steal. Now, listen to me. Even the people who don't steal, they understand the reason why it has to be done. Are you getting my point? That this is just in the culture. Now, when I say everybody, and I know you may not be a criminal, but you understand my point, you are the exception. When you go to church, on your line in church, 8 out of 10 people there are criminals. You who have not had the opportunity, all right, to manifest. We you know, it's a habit. We break the law. We say, NEPA say use prepaid meter. We'll put the meter there, but we'll look for a wire to use to, you know, defraud NEPA. It's just in the blood. You get what I say? When they say, except a man be born again, Jesus will say, that's what I'm going to. All these programs in people's minds, Jesus said, except a man be born again, except those things be wiped away, and a new set of laws and standards and ideas written on their minds, they cannot experience the power of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what it means. You see, that's why if you look at it, people say you couldn't be born again before Jesus died. No, see, there are different qualities to these things. Those days, people could give their lives literally and begin to follow him. That's why he said to them, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, notice the next line. He said, take my yoke upon you. What he was saying is that the yoke you are carrying are the standards you are living life by. The yoke you are carrying are the things that life has brought upon you because of the way your heart is set. So he said, let me give you a new load to carry. He said, take my yoke upon you and do what? And learn. You know, I told you the word and. When you see the word and in the Greek, in the New Testament, you must be careful. Most times it's qualifying what was said. So he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What he was saying is that this is how you take my yoke. You start learning the things that I'm saying. For example, you came to the people and said that you have heard. All right? Thou shalt love your friends and hate your enemies. But I tell you, that is, except a man be born again, except he rejects the former commandments of loving his friends and hating his enemies, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So he said, this is the new commandment I'm giving you. You will love your enemies. You will pray for them that despisefully use you. Do you get my point? That this is no longer an eye for an eye. Before that, it was an eye for an eye. But except a man be born again, except a man wipes away all those standards, all those things that were written in his mind, he can never enter into the kingdom of God. That's what it means to be born again. Therefore, if you go to church, now, listen to this, please, and understand me well. If they say who wants to give his life to Christ, you put up your hand, you go forward, they pray for you, then you go back to your seat and go back to your former ways, you are not born again yet. It remains small. You came close to being born again. You attempted to be born again. You are getting my principle. Yes, because the mark of discipleship must be in your life. Otherwise, that altar call you answer, it's of no effect. It is of no effect because you have not taken his yoke. That's why some preachers emphasize what they call discipleship. Because Jesus said, go and make disciples of all the nations. It's not just for those who name the name Christian. Because listen, we know in the country of Nigeria, we have Christians, we have Muslims, we have all kinds of people. But when we use the word Christian for most people, what we mean is that he was baptized when he was a child and he goes to a church. That's what we mean. It does not at all describe his life. True Christianity describes your life. Not your identities geographically or socially. True Christianity describes the fact that you are ardently following, and following now by learning, not by participating in processions. Discipleship is that, they say in our place, this is one I like to give as examples, or one of the examples I like to give. They say in our place, we don't marry from there. Except a man be born again. Once he's born again, he starts asking, what did he say, that is Christ Jesus, about where we can marry from? Are you getting the point? That's a man who is what? Born again. It's been interesting to know, I believe, this is what I think. Sometimes people compartmentalize their lives. They are born again in one area. And they are born again in another. Now, this is the interesting part. They experience God in one area. Do you get my point? And they don't experience him in another area. Because any part of your life, listen to me, that you have not taken his yoke and put it there, he has no business being in there. I like to tell people, say, I'm getting married, I'm not getting married, whatever it is. I say, listen, choose your wife, choose your husband according to a set of laws. And make sure you pray to whoever gave those laws for blessings in your marriage. Do you get my point? If when you want to choose wife, choose husband, you say, in our place, this is how it is. After you finish, don't forget, I like what Rabbi Zachariah said once. He said, culture is the cloak of religion. That's what he said. That is, if you see culture, it's the cloth that religion is wearing. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. That is, the expression of religion in society is their culture. For example, if you go to a nation that was founded on Christian principles, you see their culture is a culture of Christianity. But people who are born into that, who don't know Christianity, will just say, this is how it's done in our place. They don't realize where it came from. In the same manner, if we have rules and standards and cultures in our society, we may not realize it. It is actually a manifestation of the religion that our ancestors practiced. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm trying to explain. Yes. So many of the things we do, all right, they are just manifestations of idol worship. You know, that's why I have never been a fan of this is African culture. I'm not a fan of it. Cultures change. If I look at a culture, I don't know where it began from. Or if it offends my sensibility as a Christian, it has to go. It has to go. Because a lot of those cultures are founded upon idolatry. That's a matter of fact. So I said to people, by the time you finish using a set of rules and regulations, make sure when you want to pray, I have chosen my wife, I have chosen my husband according to how it is in our place. Then ask whoever set those rules in your place to please bless your marriage. Because God is not mocked. You cannot go and use Amadio has rules to pick a wife. Then you come to Christ Jesus and say, okay, bless the marriage. Jesus will say, wait, you didn't know I was here when you were making your choice? Are you getting what I'm not explaining? I'm explaining the meaning of to be born again. Listen to me. If your life is the same, you gave your life to Christ, you think, 5 years ago. 5 years after, your values, your standards, your behaviors, your everything is still the same. I prescribe for you today, go and check it. I don't think you are really born again. Nobody said, vex so. After I don't know you. Are you getting my point? Because that's what Jesus was saying. What does it mean to be born again? It means to wipe away the things that were there as my norms, as my standards, as, like we say in computer science, as the operating system for my life. And I install a new operating system, and I start putting upon it new application softwares so that now I react differently. So Paul said it like this: be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The same thing that the Lord Jesus was telling Nicodemus. Are you getting my point? So that's just by the way. I know, like I told you, that's not the main thing I'm talking about. I'm just taking that one on the side. So let me get back to my message. So that's what righteousness is. Once we start learning and doing that, which God says is his proper way, as a consequence, his blessings. Now, let me get back to it. His blessings. Nicodemus came and said, how come your life is like this? And Jesus said, it is because I am in the kingdom of God. And except you are born again, you cannot experience what I'm experiencing. What he was saying is that if I start seeking the kingdom of God, which is sought by seeking his righteousness, then that kingdom becomes established in my life. Listen to this. You hear Jesus say things like, all other things are added unto you. Listen, you see, one of the things people must understand, when the Lord Jesus was speaking, he was speaking to his disciples. If you see those straight, hardcore teachings, they were aimed for his disciples. I'm bringing an issue here. He said, take no thought for the morrow, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and wherewithal shall you be clothed. Listen to me. Any Gentile that does not take thought for tomorrow, we go hungry. Are you getting my point? That message was not a message for unbelievers. It was not a message for Gentiles. Because he said it himself, these things the Gentiles seek, and they are supposed to seek. Because if they don't seek them, they go hungry. He now said, but you, only see the word but, what does that mean? You are not the same. I'm cutting you separate. I'm making it clear to you that there's a distinction between you and the other people. He said, but you, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And as a matter of fact, every other thing will be added unto you. What was he saying? People in the kingdom of God don't lack. Are you getting my point? For that reason, they are not supposed to seek the things that are in the matter of security for tomorrow. What shall they eat? What shall they drink? And with what shall they clothe themselves? That's the principle. But you see, as Christians, we will not experience that except we first wipe away the worldly system that's in our thoughts. Are you getting my point? And then start walking in God's order. I said that order is called righteousness. And anywhere people walk in it, listen, if you're a Christian, if you walk in God's righteousness, God's kingdom will manifest in that area. Listen, anywhere, any part of your life in which you are not experiencing that kingdom, check it, you are not walking in his righteousness. I hope you hear what I said. Before we start pointing fingers at other people, later I'll talk about that. Nobody, as a Christian, nobody can do you anything. That's the summary. There are no witches that can do you anything. Anywhere you are not experiencing that kingdom, you are not walking in his righteousness. I'm building that principle down. So and I said, listen, I was saying that before I lose track, that it is our duty to establish that righteousness on the earth. Are you getting my point? It is our duty that everywhere we are found in the affairs of life, because there's, you know, I went just now, I started talking about the way you walk in your personal life, just as a way to explain further what it means to be born again, all right? But that righteousness, there is a righteousness for how business is done. The other time I gave an example of a man, Henry Ford, who decided to establish as a practical matter the understanding that God gave him in how business should be done. I gave another example of the woman, Mary Kay. What I'm emphasizing today, all right, is the fact that it is your duty and it is my duty, do you get my point, to establish righteousness in this life. That's what I want to emphasize. And that the work of God, I'm back to it, that the work of God for you as an individual, is the establishing of God's righteousness everywhere he finds you. Listen, there are a number of things that God, you know, I like to explain this to people. When sometimes people ask, I don't have a job, I need a job, and do that. Let me tell you something quickly. Listen to this. In fact, anything you want in life, Get this point very clear. As a Christian, I'm talking to Christians now. Anything you want in life, before you start asking God for it, first ask yourself, what is God's purpose for it? Assuming I do not have a car, and I want to pray to God for a car, even though you think it is obvious what cars are for, but you should ask yourself, that is, you ask God in prayer, God, what did you create this thing for? What is it meant for? The reason is simple. That's why you need to pray that prayer. What is popular may not be the right thing. The fact that everybody is using one thing, for a particular thing, does not mean that is what God ordained it for. Please, listen to what I'm saying. I'm a woman, I'm praying, I want to get married. Instead of going for all-night prayer, you know, Christians are funny. The Bible says that, why do you spend your energy for that which does not satisfy? Are you getting my point? He said there is a proper procedure for every event. This is what I'm saying. Sometimes people, they will go all night and pray. They go to for maybe 7 days prayer in a particular camp, they will pray. They come home 7 days fasting, no water, no food. They go through that ordeal because they are asking God for something. But God cannot answer. You know why? Because James and John came to him and said, grant that we sit on your left and on your right in your kingdom. And he said to them simply, you don't know what you are talking about. Please, follow what I'm saying. Instead of spending all that time asking for that thing, spend a little time. It takes far less energy, usually because the raw result comes faster. It takes far less energy to just ask God, what did you create this thing for? What is your purpose? This car, what did you say we should do with it? The Holy Spirit, my reveal to you, listen, my boy, it is not for vainglory. It starts with that. I was driving behind a car today. I saw a sticker I've never seen before. It's very, very funny. It's the funniest sticker I've seen in the car in recent times. The guy said, don't let the car fool you. My treasure is laid in heaven. I saw that one today for the first time. He said, don't let this car fool you. Assuming it's a very fine car, you put it on. What you're telling the person behind is that I may be driving an S500. Don't be impressed. My treasure is laid in heaven. This is not the measure of my worth. Or maybe it's a very ugly car. You put it on it. You are telling the people, don't be deceived, though. I'm not poor. My treasure is laid in heaven. So the Holy Spirit may reveal to you, say, oh girl, oh boy, this is not a revelation, this is not a manifestation, or this is not an indication of how rich you are. Are you getting my point? The Holy Spirit will tell you again, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Suddenly, it is possible that suddenly it will just dawn on you that you actually don't need it. Are you getting what I'm saying? And you say, okay, so why have I been sweating all this while? Because unconsciously, where you are living, you live in a building that has 6 flats. Everybody has a car, you don't have one. And every time you are coming down, you are feeling like a failure. As they're entering their cars and you're taking your keke napep, you are feeling bad. So that's why you've been praying. And when you pray that prayer, God just revealed it to you suddenly that what is it going to add to you? How is it going to improve your function in life right now? Then it dawns on you that actually I don't need it. Or it is possible that you now discover really that this is the real reason why I need it. It's going to improve. I remember one man of God told me something once, that the first car he got in life, he was a personal assistant to a particular man of God. And it was really difficult for him moving around Lagos, helping this man out. And then one day he prayed and said to God, if you can just help me, let me get a car to improve my services in the work of this ministry. That is, he was involved in the ministry of the word of God. In a short while, one day somebody called him and said, you come. He said, I'm only seeing you hanging around this man. All right? Everywhere he goes, I see you there. What, you know, he asked him a few questions. He gave a few answers. The man handed him the keys to a car. Take. It will make your life easier. He didn't discuss that with anybody. You may get to the office and suddenly you open a door. Somebody will sell a car to you at a price that it's like if it's giveaway. It can happen. Or suddenly a new business comes. Are you getting my point? What I'm trying to say is that if you get God's understanding, if you get God's mind on what you are asking him for, you will be amazed at the rapidity
of the results that will come into your life. I hope you've gotten my point.
You have just listened to a radio message by Pastor Banky. More of this and other messages are available from our website, kwm.com.ng, or pastorbanky.org. To contact us, especially to let us know how much this has been a blessing to you, please write us at radiosermons@gmail.com or pastor@kwm.com.ng. Do not forget to do your part in spreading the kingdom of God by sharing this message with someone else. Thank you for listening, and may the fruit of this word blossom in your life.